Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam wa rasulullah. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow, and we're broadcasting live today all the way from right here in Riverside. I don't know where the river is. I didn't look for it, but we're in Riverside, California. We're here at the masjid. There's your host, Yusuf Essa, the National Muslim Chaplain, and guess what? We're going to be talking about the coming month of Ramadan, the month of fasting for the Muslims, what it means and how we understand it. We've already had a program just the other day on this subject, and it's on our site now, alhamdulillah. But I want to come from another approach. I want to talk about something called an Arabic hikmah. What is the wisdom in the fasting? And the month of Ramadan has long ago been established as the month of fasting for believers in monotheism. Allah tells us in the Quran, O you who believe, fasting has been ordained for you as it was ordained for the people before you, that you may achieve a taqwa. Taqwa meaning to have God consciousness or God fearing and an upright and righteous person. This is the meaning of taqwa. It's a big word, by the way. In the series of etymology we've been doing, a breaking down of words, we've discovered there are many words in Arabic that need phrases in English to really communicate the details that are implied. But in any case, is this something we can verify? Did Allah order the people of the past, of the monotheistic religion, meaning specifically Jews, Judaism, Christians from Christianity, did He order them anything? And let's consider that, in fact, there is something when the Jewish people celebrate Passover. They have Passover. And there are certain things they don't eat and certain things they do eat. Then they have a day called Yom Kippur, a day of atonement. And certainly even today they have traditions and days wherein they don't eat, or they don't eat certain things, and so on. Then let us look now to the, let us look to what the Muslims have, Christians, in something that they call Ash Wednesday. This is for the Catholics. The Catholics celebrate Ash Wednesday, and then unfortunately they have the day before called Fat Tuesday. But Ash Wednesday is when the priest puts ashes on the forehead of the people, and they come to him, and then he puts this on them, and then for 30 days they don't do something, but they got changed a lot. In the old days they didn't eat or drink like we do. Then it became just no eating. They could continue to drink. Then it became don't eat certain things. Then it became, well, give up something that you ordinarily like to do. And then finally it became, well, you know, spend part of the day doing something good. And I heard one priest actually told me that exactly. He said, I tell them that they can take it easy, and maybe if you I'd like to give up golf for half a day or something like that, you know, just don't want to make it hard for the people. I thought, yeah, right. Of course, in Islam, that's not permissible for us to change God's rules, but that's beside the point. We're not here to talk about other people's religion, just to verify that certainly they had that. Now, their Fat Tuesday is something that they do in New Orleans, and what that's all about is that they get... they have Mardi Gras the whole previous week before that, right up until Fat Tuesday, and that's when they stop doing all the bad stuff and switch over, and now they repent for everything they did in Mardi Gras. And I'm not joking, that's really exactly how it works today. Anyway, for us, what is the wisdom in Islam for the fasting? First of all, it's a great act of worship because Allah has ordained it. It means He ordered us to do it. It's not something we made up. It means that we're going to spend the whole day, every day for 30 days, in the daylight hours, without any ingestion, meaning we're not going to partake of any food or drink or any type of nourishment. We will not do that. And in addition to that, we also will not have intimate relations with our spouses, meaning you don't have sex during the day. Not only that, but we're also encouraged not to attack people and by character. In other words, you don't make fun of people, you don't cut people down, you don't lie, you don't cheat, you don't steal. You're not supposed to do that anyway. But how much more of a sin is it during the month of Ramadan? So it's a great act of worship, and it contains a great reward. One of the clearest rewards of all is mentioned by Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that you will be forgiven for your sins. So whoever fasts the month of Ramadan, then Allah, he forgives them of their sins. If you're seeking repentance and you're trying to be forgiven, that's one of the best ways to do it, is to fast this month of Ramadan. In fact, he said, whoever finds the month of Ramadan and then they don't fast it, they won't be forgiven for this, and this is a great tragedy for them. Give you the meaning of the hadith. He also said, whoever does not give up false speech and evil action, then Allah does not need him to give up his food and his drink. So if you can't give up lying and give up doing bad deeds, then you don't need to give up the food and drink either, because it's not going to help you. I recall in another one it mentioned that the one who is giving up his food and drink and staying up in the night and praying, but he can't follow this, then he won't have anything but just hunger and standing up for nothing. Might as well go get some sleep if you're going to be a crook. So it's very strong on that. It's not just about food and drink. In fact, this is to reach the heart. Because the heart, through fasting, is most likely to maintain tenderness, since the desires and lusts are not sought after during this time. It's true. As a matter of fact, the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to advise those that had a lot of desire in their heart, sexual desire for women and so on, he would advise them to fast during the day, because fasting overcomes your body lusts and desires. So it's a very good wisdom about that. And for those who are wealthy, think about this. If a poor person fasts, well, it might be because he didn't have any money to buy any food. But when a wealthy person gives up his food and drink, that's something. Because it's real easy for him to just snap his fingers and have whatever he'd like to eat, but he's giving it up. And even more, because during this time of the year, more than any other time, he is being ordered to pay his zakah, or pay his sadaqah, which means charity, and distribute to the poor and to the needy. And especially when those are fasting, he can pay money or supply the food for them that they can be fed on his behalf. It's a very good idea for a rich person to fast in Ramadan and then also serve these people. Not just pay for their food, but physically cook it up, if he knows how to cook, hopefully, and at least go and personally serve them. Be the servant to those people. Put the food in their plate and give it to them, and ask for Allah's blessings to be upon them, and ask them to pray for him. Because really, imagine this. Suppose a man's a millionaire, and everybody knows this guy, he's got his own chauffeur, he has big cars, he has a big house. Now here he is, sitting on the floor with us, drinking some simple drink like orange juice, something like this, mango juice. Anybody know what's mango lassi? Ah, yeah. A Pakistan say? Ah, may Texas stand. Anyhow, so, you like my jokes, huh? So, this is something amazing to see this man sitting with us, drinking simple drinks, eating very simple food, rice, beans, things like this, and he's serving us? Oh, tell me what society encourages such a thing as that. Nowhere. Nowhere. Even in some religions, the priest goes to the rich man. The priest will go to the rich man to give him special service from the church. Some religions have this, because he's too busy to go. But this is some wisdom here, is to have the wealthy be right there with the poor. And it helps to keep in mind for all of us that the real wealth is only coming from God, and any of us could lose it overnight, that quick. I want to talk to you a little bit now about the virtues or fadail of Ramadan. It was Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, a good companion to Muhammad, peace be upon him, who tells us that the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said that when the month of Ramadan starts, the gates of Jannah are open and the gates of hell are closed and the devils are chained up. We spoke about that one the other night. And what it means very clearly is, this is a good time of the year. It's a lot easier to do good things and hopefully more difficult to do bad things. And you won't have as much encouragement from the devils around you to do bad deeds. So this is something we should seek the mercy of Allah during this month and look for this month. And how we find it is by looking to the sky at the end of the month of Shaban. And we watch for the new moon, and that starts the month of Ramadan. So this is a great wisdom of Allah that He bestowed this on all of us. Now suppose, as in the case of what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, somebody's bothering you, giving you a hard time, trying to argue with you about anything. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, all of the deeds of Adam, the children of Adam, they do for themselves except fasting, which belongs to Allah. And Allah will reward for it. And fasting is a shield against the hell and against committing the deeds that lead to hell. And if one of you happens to be fasting, he should avoid sexual relation with his wife. He should avoid quarreling. He should, and if somebody's trying to fight with you, then you should say to them, I'm fasting, I'm fasting. And then the Prophet, peace be upon him, swears by his own life. He said, I swear by the one who holds my life in his hand that the smell of the one who is fasting, the breath. Have you ever been around somebody fasting and you smelled their breath and you went, whoa, okay, what's that? But to Allah, and he said, I swear by Allah that this smell is better in the sight of Allah than perfume or misk. And this is from the sayings of Muhammad, recorded in Sahih Bukhari. So this is a shield for us against evil, and it benefits the believer and keeps him away from vain talk and brings him closer to Allah in many ways. And of the good deeds, Allah favored fasting to be greatly rewarded by him. And by the way, the deeds that you do in the month of Ramadan will count what? More for you than any other time of the year. Could be 10 times minimum, or 70, or 700, or as much as Allah would like to offer for you to do it. So even a small good deed done at that time while you're fasting could be worth more maybe than months of trying to do something else. And while we're on that subject, we might mention that this is the month that contains Laylatul Qadr, the night of power. And during the night of power, this is a time when it's celebrated, if you will. I don't want to use that word maybe, but the commemorating when Allah sent down the Quran was in the night of power. When Allah said in the Quran that He sent down the Quran on the night of power, Laylatul Qadr. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, told us, whoever finds this night, and how do you find that night? Well, obviously it means that you're worshiping in that night. You're getting up in the middle of the night and standing and praying or making salah and asking from Allah. And if you find this night, it says in the Quran, in the same surah, Laylatul Qadr, this is better for you than Alf Shahr, 1,000 months. 1,000 months, not 1,000 nights. Better than 1,000 months. Well, I couldn't resist the temptation, so I got the calculator. I figured it all out. 83 and a fourth years. More than a lifetime of worship for one night. So is it worth it? Yeah, you say, oh, I have to get up. 83 and a fourth years, hello. Don't miss this night of power, right? When is it? Only Allah knows. Only Allah knows. But it's one of the nights in Ramadan. But we also heard from the Prophet ﷺ that it's on the odd night. So it won't be on 2 or 4 or 6 or 8. It'll be on 1, which is not very likely, or 3 or 5 or 7 or 9 or 11, etc. Well, then we also heard that it was in the last 10 days, which would probably be like 21, 23, 25, 27, 29, but not likely on 29. Why? Because 29 could be the last day. Because sometimes it's 29, sometimes it's 30. So that really narrows it down. And then we have another hadith that says for sure it's the 27th. But still, it's Allah who knows for sure. So I encourage us to get up every night just in case. But if something happens, you miss one, don't miss those last nights, those last 10 days. And by the way, another thing we have that goes with Ramadan is called itikaf, which means to what? Stick. Literally means to stick to something and don't get away from it. Stay with it. And itikaf in the masjid, staying in the masjid day and night for the last 10 days, is something the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to do. Encourage other people to do the same thing, if you can. If you're not able to, maybe 3 days. And if not, maybe 1. And if not, at least a couple of hours. Allah knows best your condition. Try to do what you can do. You don't have to, but if you can, what a beautiful blessing for you to spend some time just in the service of your Lord. Now, while we're talking about service, I already mentioned a little bit. I'm going to come back to it again. The service of each other. As much as you can do stuff for each other. Think, what can I do for this brother? Even if, in ordinary, you know, I want to hold the door for him. I want to pick up this. Or give him his shoes and things. Just anything that I can think of to do for him. And please Allah. And just by the off chance, he might even pray for me and say, oh, Jazakallah khair, which is a prayer. That's a prayer. Jazakallah khair. Means, may Allah increase you in all that is good. Now, I met some of our brothers who say Jazakallah. I want to tell you something. You need that other word on there. Don't say Jazakallah and walk away. And don't let anybody say it to you and walk away. Because it said, may Allah increase you in what? In what? What if the next word out of your mouth is something bad? You just said, may Allah give you an increase in whatever that thing was. So be sure to finish the phrase, Jazakum Allahu khairan, or Jazakallah khair. Everybody got me on that one? I know in a lot of places they don't know that. They just say it. But Jazakallah is not enough. And it's a dead giveaway that you're from the subcontinent. But anyhow, just say Jazakallah khair. Alhamdulillah. Who should fast? Who has to fast? Does every single Muslim have to fast? No, that's not true. Because the little children don't have to fast. People who are sick on a journey, something like this, don't have to fast. Those who have some special condition don't have to fast. Women who are about, you know, in certain thing of their pregnancy don't fast. And during their time of the month, they don't fast. So there are some exceptions here. So if you see some Muslims not fasting, don't panic. Don't go over and slap them around and say, hey, what are you doing? Because you don't know what's their condition. Okay? Be sure that you don't judge anything here, because Allah made it that way for a reason. Because Allah doesn't want you to fast for the people anyway. He wants you to fast for Him. So when you see people not fasting, don't assume that they're being disobedient to Allah. Could be something else. As for the one that has sickness, and they're not able to fast, they fall into 3 major categories. First is, if it's not hard or harmful, then they need to fast. Or if it's hard but not harmful, then they're allowed to fast or break the fast. And then finally, if it is harmful to them, then they must not fast. Because it's stated in Quran, in Surah Baqarah, same place where we find the information about the fasting, in verse 195. Do not destroy yourselves. Don't kill yourselves. Don't throw yourselves into destruction. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, do not cause harm to yourselves and do not cause harm to others. So for those who think, oh, well, even though I'm supposed to take diabetes medicine, I'm going to fast anyway. that's not correct, you need to take your medicine. And Allah knows best. Ask your imam for clarification. So that gives us a little bit of insight about the wisdom and who needs to fast. And I want to end the program with something I did last night. I want to do it again and mention, when do we start fasting and when do we end? And no matter how you slice it, that's the expression we have in Texas, no matter how you cut it up, no matter how you try to do it, in the United States of America, the Muslims have a problem on getting started at the right time and ending at the right time. So, but I got to talk about it, so here goes. Please don't throw anything at me. Thank you. Allah said in the Quran, so every one of you who is present during that month should spend it while he's fasting. Do you understand what he meant by present? It means if you're at home, if you're in your locale, in this case, spend the month fasting. However, it's not incumbent on each person to see the new moon, because this is the condition to begin. The beginning of Ramadan comes with sighting the new moon, and it looks kind of like a fingernail clipping up in the sky on the first night. You can barely see it, and it's only there about 15 minutes. I've only sighted it once in my whole life. But it was so cool, I couldn't wait to call up everybody and tell them. And I started calling them and telling them, you know, we've seen it. I'm looking at it right now. And I called such an organization, another, and another, and not one of them would accept it. And I said, well, I've got another Muslim right here with me, also seeing the same thing. And it's right outside. I live in a condo by Washington, D.C., and we were looking right at it. Well, they wouldn't accept it. They said, we have already worked everything out. We're not starting till tomorrow. We're not starting tonight. We're going to start tomorrow night. Why? Such and such a country didn't start. And such a group didn't see it. So we're not going to do it. Have you ever heard of that before? How do you feel when somebody says something like that? And what are we going to do about it? Let me tell you something. This is really a hadith. Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu, he tells us that a Bedouin, that's a desert dweller, somebody lives out in the desert, he came up to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and he said, O Prophet, I have seen the new moon of Ramadan. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, asked the man, do you bear witness, La ilaha illallah? In other words, he's asking, are you a Muslim? There's no deity to worship except Allah. And that I'm the messenger of Allah. And he said, yes, I do. The Prophet ﷺ said, yes. Then he said to Bilal, announce to the people that we will begin fasting on the very next day. So they have Tarawih at that night, and they, you know, reading Quran. But the thing was, the order is start fasting the next day. It means he did not know this man before, but he asked him, do you testify, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah? If you're a Muslim and you saw it, then that's it. And Ibn Omar, that's Abdullah Ibn Omar, also confirmed the practice of sighting the new moon in his report. He said, the people were seeking the new moon, and having sighted it myself, he said he saw it, I reported it to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He began his fasting and ordered the others to do the same thing. So whoever sights the new moon of Ramadan should inform those in authority in the Muslim government or community. Once the Muslim government announces the beginning of Ramadan, upon sighting the new moon, it becomes an obligation on the rest of the Muslims to begin fasting. It should be kept in mind, however, that the astronomical calculations must be ruled out from Sharia and must not be relied on for the sighting of the moon. As the Prophet ﷺ has ruled that Muslims must begin their fast upon seeing the new moon, not upon calculating the moon from the location of the stars and the moon, etc. It is only when it becomes hard to see the new moon due to weather conditions, then Muslims may complete the month of Shaban, making it 30 days instead of 29. And by the way, Shaban is the month preceding Ramadan. So, and by the way, the months in the lunar calendar never have 31 days, and they never have 28. They're always 29 or 30. But what do I do? By the way, I want to talk about this before I leave the subject. What do I do if I'm in a community that just is not doing what I think is right? First of all, talk to your imam and listen to the wisdom of your imam. And if he's telling you this is this way and this is what we're doing, there is a clear hadith of the Prophet ﷺ which tells you to follow your emir or follow your imam. Plus, Allah said in the Quran that you have to obey Allah, obey the messenger, and obey those in authority. So keep that in mind too before you go out on your own. And finally, remember this. It's a horrible act in Islam to divide the Muslims. Allah forbid Muslims to divide themselves up. He says, Wallah tafaraqa, don't separate. Harama tafaraqa, don't separate. It's haram, so don't do it. So I'm going to advise myself and all of us that if the community, under the direction of the leader or the imam or emir, has said we're going to do this or do that, then that would be the best thing to do. But if you feel strong about the fact, especially if you saw it and you want to fast, then okay, you saw it, fast. And guess what else? Be quiet about it. Just be quiet. You're okay, and they're okay too. Everybody's okay. Don't panic. You're still brothers and sisters in Islam. You still will be all right. Don't get upset about it. Enjoy the month. And if it turns out that everybody has to go another day, you follow what I'm saying? In other words, there was 29, but we got another day to go, but we're gonna have Eid, what do? Then again, according to the hadith, you break your fasting, celebrate the Eid, and then after that, the next day, fast again and finish. It's as easy as that. It's easy as that. We don't have to make something big out of this thing. People will always be people. They'll always do what they do. And what do you want to do? That's your brother. That's your sister. Don't panic. Don't make a big deal out of it. Your fasting is for Allah, not for an organization or anybody else. What breaks the fast? Let's ask that question before we wrap this up. If anyone has sexual intercourse, that breaks the fast, and it has to be made up. And a fast of 60 days in a row is what it takes to make up for that. 60 days in a row. Intentionally having any kind of sexual involvement, etc., will break the fast. Eating, drinking, smoking, or taking food substitutes, like getting glucose or IV, or any substance by intention, knowing you're fasting, will break the fast. But if it's done and you didn't think about it, like you forgot and you sat down and ate and then you said, oh my God, I was fasting, then it's okay. You keep on going, and that was a gift from Allah. And I love that. I think that's so beautiful that Allah gives that. If a person causes themselves to vomit, okay, on purpose, this breaks the fast. And a woman's time of the month, her bleeding, causes her to break the fast. It's not a fault on her, no blame on her. She just has to keep a record and make up those days. And the women know more about that than I do. I'm just mentioning it. All right, we got that out of the way. Next, we'll mention about the Qiyam and Tarawih prayers. Tarawih, so many Muslims in the world today will come to the masjid for Tarawih. sometimes even more than come for the Jummah Salah on Friday. But is Tarawih Fard? Do you have to pray Tarawih? No. In fact, if you never prayed Tarawih in your whole life, would it keep you from going to paradise? No. No, it wouldn't. But if you miss even one regular salah with no excuse, you can't ever make it up. That's serious. It's strange, isn't it? And how about Eid Salah? We didn't mention much about Eid yet because that's at the end. But Eid, this is a gathering of all the Muslims in the whole area. Everybody gets together and they pray Eid, right? Is it fard? Is it obligation to pray Eid? No. No, it's not. It is not. In fact, if you don't pray Eid, there's no makeup for it because you missed it. That's it. But how many Muslims come for Eid Salah? And you never ever saw him before in your life. You never saw him in Jummah. You never saw him in the masjid. You just never saw him. And some of them pray Eid with the idea that it takes away all their sins since the previous year. It's the fasting of the month of Ramadan that takes away the sins since the previous year. And while we're on that subject, if you fast 6 more days in the next month of Shawwal, then Allah, He'll forgive you for a year back and a year forward. Gives you pretty good incentive, doesn't it? Is that right? Or just 1 year back? I can't remember now. My mind is... I'm going to just leave it at that. It's as though you fasted the whole year. Now I remember it. It's as though you fasted the whole year. That's it. Yeah. If you fast the month of Ramadan and add 6 more days in the month of Shawwal, it's as though you fasted the whole year. There you go. I don't want to make up something. Got enough problem with that going on. So this gives us a little insight to what's coming up with Ramadan. And before I leave the subject, I want to mention to you that what makes the Ramadan so special. When I first looked at Ramadan, this is personal, and you know, it's just from my observation. When I first got in and to Islam and people were telling me about Ramadan, I was scared. Because I was thinking, oh my God, man, 30 days with no food and water, I'm going to die, man. I had fasted as a Christian for 3 days, but we were allowed water. You guys don't get any food and water or nothing. I said, man, you'll be so skinny, you know, you're going to be. Then they told me, no, you get to break your fast every night. I said, oh, yeah, I knew that. Oh, yeah, that's not so bad. You're talking about, what, 12 hours, 14 hours? Okay. Then you just do that for the whole month. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I figured that one out real quick. What you do, right, is you stay up real, 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 real late at night, eating all the time and eating right before Fajr. Then after you pray in the morning, just go to bed and sleep. I said, in fact, then I found out a lot of Muslims do that. But that's not the idea behind it, is it? So, alhamdulillah. But I managed to get through that first day, and I remember thinking, oh my gosh, how many more hours is it? Oh, wow. Still 11 more hours to go. Okay, let me... Now how long is it? 10 hours and 58 minutes. Okay. So I'm going through that day a little bit tough because I was worried about it. I didn't know if I was going to make it. I didn't want to not be a Muslim anymore. And I was worried what's going to happen if I can't make it and I have to drink water or something. And my friend told me, he said, okay, if something happens, don't panic. If you have to eat or something, we'll work on it. Just take it easy. It's your first time. So when there was 4 hours left, I said, wow, my stomach is making funny noises and I'm feeling kind of weird. And okay, take it easy, just sit down, you know. And then there's only 2 hours left to go and I'm going, oh, well, I don't see how we can make it. Then 1 hour, then 15 minutes, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. And then when it was time, I was going, I could wait a few more seconds, I'll be all right, yeah. I could actually wait a whole other minute, you know? Give me that water, Bismillah. And I broke the fast, and I was going, wow, what good water they have here. Amazing. What's this water? It's so nice. They said, it's the same water you had this morning. I said, no way, not possible. And then I ate some food. I said, oh, this food is good. What is this delicious food? It's the same thing you eat here all the time. I said, really? And every day through that first year, that first month of Ramadan, first year as a Muslim, every day when I break the fast, whatever I ate was like the best food I ever ate in my life. And many times we broke our fast eating nothing but rice and beans. You know what's ful mudammas, ful? You heard of this? Yes. Eat it. Eat it any time of the year and you go, tech, it's beans. But eat it when you break the fast. It's like, gosh, this is good stuff. Where did you get that? You know. So that's how that went. And there were about 5 days left, or 4 days left in the month of Ramadan. And one of the students at the university, I was visiting at his house, and I looked at the calendar and I said, ah, only 4 days left until Ramadan's over. And I was like excited, because we don't have to do this anymore, you know. I was figuring he'd be excited too, you know. And he said, yeah, I know, isn't it sad? I went, huh? He said, isn't it sad? I said, sad? Why would it be sad if Ramadan is going to be over? You don't have to do this anymore. He looked at me, he smiled, and he said, well, have you noticed how many people come to the masjid during this time? I said, yeah. He says, it's a lot, isn't it? I said, yeah. He said, have you noticed how we all stay together after the Salat al-Maghrib, and we stay there together, and we talk and have fun, and people meet each other and establish good relationships and so on? I said, yeah. He said, you notice how we stand in the prayers and cry and ask for things? I said, yeah. He said, have you noticed the camaraderie of the Muslims, the brotherhood of the Muslims? I said, yeah. He said, have you noticed how great the food tastes every night when you break the fast? I said, yeah. He said, have you noticed how easy it is to do good deeds because the devils are all tied up? I said, yeah. He said, when Ramadan ends, so will all of that. And we'll go back to just being the way we were before. And he was right. Right after Ramadan ended, it was over. People didn't come back anymore. All our new friends disappeared. Only one or two new brothers stayed with us. And it sure was easier to do bad stuff after that too. Alhamdulillah. I want to end by mentioning one other thing that happened. It's a personal event that took place back when I used to have a masjid down in Texas. And we had Eid actually in the masjid there. It was on Air Force Base, and mostly students from Al-Khalid, the Gulf. And it was so big, it was so many people, that our masjid there, which was in sections, is actually bigger than what we have here. And we had all of this full, okay? And then the next room full, and then the next room behind that full, and the people couldn't get in the doors. They were praying on top of the shoes. They were outside everywhere, all over that building, and it was scaring, by the way, it was scaring the rest of the people at the Air Force Base, because they didn't know what's going on. All these Muslims over here doing something, you know, let's keep an eye on them. Then we're talking about 1994, 10 years ago, not now. No telling what they would do now. And we had an upstairs, it's normally for the women, we had those three sections totally crammed up with people. There was just no room whatsoever. And we had been up there with some food and giving out some candy and stuff right before we had the Salat to Eid. But it was so full. And when it was over, I was thinking, oh man, it's so crowded, and we all had been gathered together. So I was in a small part of the masjid up in the very front with some brothers talking up there, you know. And then it was not too long before time went by. It was time for Dhuhr prayer, the noon prayer. And I heard the imam, muadhin going down, and he said, I'm going to turn on the mic and give the adhan. And I said, oh gosh, I've got to go through all of these people and get down there and hurry up. I want to get a place. I don't want to have to be in the back of the back room. And there's so many people, you know, and everybody's rushing down and going out, you know. And I got down there and opened the door to the masala. It was empty. The only person was the muezzin calling to the prayer. Every single person left. Except the Mu'adhin, who was an American brother, and myself, and one other brother. And we three prayed Salat al-Dhuhr in the most empty building I've ever been in my life. And I'm wondering, didn't they know this prayer was a fard? It was an obligation, and the other was a sunnah. May Allah guide us. I hope Allah will wake us up to what's the value of our beautiful way of Islam before it's too late. And maybe we can also understand why Muslims are having some of the problems they have in the world today, because we put the wrong things first. We're really upside down. I want to close with a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He told us that Islam came strange and it will return strange, and give the good news to the strangers. May Allah guide us. May Allah accept our Ramadan. May Allah make us of those people who stand and worship Him alone without any partners. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the good of this life, the good of the next life, and save us from the punishment of the fire. Ameen. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasan wa fil akhirati hasan wa qina adhaban nar. Ameen. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmatan innaka antal wahhab. Ameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم من أخامد المجيد آمين الحمد لله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته